Hi, I'm your host, Anand J. Sukadia, and this is the Limitless One podcast. Join me on this journey as I interview the most inspirational souls who are tapping into their limitless blueprint on a mental, physical, and spiritual level to thrive in uncertain times. If you feel you are so much more than just this body, just this life, and want to tap into your limitless potential, you're in the right place. Here we go, Starseeds. Have you ever had an awakening that would forever change the trajectory of your life? How about a mystical experience that opened up communication with extraterrestrials and extra-dimensional light beings? Our guests today are a spiritual power couple that awakened together and are now helping thousands of others in their healing journeys towards self-transcendence. Pete and Roxy are a beautiful married couple with two little boys from Australia. Both have been active entrepreneurs since their teenage years and have always made self-development a priority so they can be the best version of themselves. They had built and managed successful businesses and always loved to be of service and inspire others. Pete and Roxy are professional motivational speakers and are mindfulness and multidimensional coaches, intuitive healers, and course creators. They are here to help elevate humanity and planet Earth towards ascension. Their awakening journey started in 2019, and in early 2020, Awakening Education was created as an online platform for individuals globally to begin their awakening journey and help guide them with elevating their consciousness. They had a calling to train and learn about all multidimensionality and galactic truths. Through this process, they elevated even further by firstly cleaning out their own interdimensional injuries and merging back with higher self and soul self. This was the launching pad to connecting with higher vibrational beings, including extraterrestrial and light beings from other dimensions and planets. They felt called to help bridge the gap between galactic worlds and this planet. With the help of galactic beings and the divine source of energy, they were able to open up even more healing technology aboard a Galactic Federation starship and now continue to take people on journeys for self-healing via medbed technology. Buckle up, Starseeds, on this podcast, we're ascending into 5D. Are you tired of drinking toxic tap water or lugging heavy bottles of water every time you go to the grocery store? Well, I have the cure for you. Hands down, the best health technology I've ever invested in is in my Kangen Water Ionizer, and I want to share that with you. Kangen Water is molecularly structured H2O2 that makes limitless amounts of the healthiest water on the planet. Not only does it filter out all toxic chemicals like chlorine, fluoride, and heavy metals, but it also allows for vital alkaline minerals such as sodium, potassium, calcium, and magnesium to remain present in the water. The platinum-coated titanium plate technology provides you with alkaline, antioxidant-injected, and microclustered water that super hydrates your cells and allows for toxic waste flushing. The most important element next to oxygen is water for our bodies. For water accounts for over 60%+ of our body mass. And the very most important thing you can do is to take in the best quality water possible into your body temple. Connect with us at www.anand.life. That's ANAND.LIFE and set up your free 2-week trial. When you change your water, you change your life. Guaranteed. All right, we got Pete and Roxy, my good friends from Egypt trip. And my goodness, we made such a soul connection when we were there. There are some wonderful souls here, and I just had to have them on the podcast. Welcome, guys. Thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's so good to talk because it's like a catch up between friends. But at the same time, as our conversations go, you know, so often we look at one another, we should be recording this, you know, because of the gold of the wealth of knowledge, all these years that all of us have been around, you know, experiencing and exploring the self. So it's great to be here talking with you this morning.
Yeah, I was just talking to Kat about this a couple of days ago, and I'm like, each of us on that trip, yeah, so many years of self-development, so many years of soul searching, so many hardships and pain and loss and so many things, but then also overcoming all that. So like you have, whatever, 75 of these rock stars, spiritual rock stars coming together, bringing their own superhero powers and coming together to share it all. So it's like every time I talk to somebody, I learn something about myself that I've gone through and I've learned a lesson from them, or it's like a synchronicity where the exact same thing happens and you put all those people together and you pretty much have my life. It's so funny. I don't know if you guys felt that as well.
Yeah, so many synchronicities with Egypt and a lot of reflections in the other facets of the souls. When we all come together, like you said, it's like seeing the divine in all of the creations within all of us. And I like that, rock stars, yeah. Spiritual rock stars, that's good.
Yeah, it was a beautiful reminder because sometimes when we're on our own, you guys have each other, it was just beautiful. I have an amazing partner that is on this journey with me as well. But sometimes in regular life, you don't have the same types of soul connections. And I really make an effort to spend more time with those types of people, but all come together at the same time. You're like, oh, okay, this is why I've been working so hard, because there's other people like myself doing the work. And it's a beautiful like experience to see how many people are there. So like whenever we feel like lost and alone and we're on this journey by ourselves, we're like, no, there's so many people out there. So for anyone listening, find your soul tribe and just look for the things that you're interested in, join groups, start meetups. But there's always people that are going through the same thing and want to ascend to the same level in the spirit of love. So we're very, very blessed to have connected in this life, at least, and moving forward. So tell me about your experience in Egypt. How was it compared to what your expectations were, what you were thinking about, what it would be like compared to what the actual experience was?
Yeah, it's a good question, because going into it, we weren't exactly sure what to expect. Like, I had been to Egypt in my 20s and yeah, completely different experience, right? You're unawake, there to meet up with an old school buddy. So there were lots of late nights and getting dragged through different temples and looking at different things that I really didn't take in as much as I later thought I could have. However, what struck me was the awe of the place. Even at that stage, I was still going, this is absolutely incredible. And I've always said to Roxy, one of the places I always wanted to take her was Egypt, and the other is to South Africa, both places that where I've been there, and just something in the heart just goes triggered. And I'm like, wow, this place is special. So this time going more awake and more aware, I knew that I wanted to see hieroglyphs of stargates and the Pleiades and all the things that Roxy and I are into, and a lot of the things that I perhaps walked past last time. But I really wasn't sure whether I was going to end up, the two of us were going to be the youngest people on the trip and it's a bunch of oldies.
That's what my concern was.
So I was quite relieved, as you say, arrive, and everyone seemed, there was a mix. There were older people, but plenty of younger people, but it was where people were at in their life. It seemed like every time you had a conversation, do you know how like when you're around a group of, let's call it unawake people or people that you don't know, you've got to feel them out to sort of work out how much they can handle. You might throw in a little heart chakra in the conversation, and then you test them out with a bit of merging with your higher self, sprinkle in a little bit of multidimensional beings. And when their eyes widen, you go, right, that's the limit.
That's the limit. There. Just before the Arcturians and the Pleiadians, right?
Exactly. So what we loved on the trip is we could go on any topic with everyone. Everyone was into it. So yeah, that was my feeling. Yours, Rob?
Yeah, I just loved going over there. And as soon as we kind of land off the plane, the energy started working with our being. And Peter and I, we checked into the hotel there at Mina House, and the night, the sleeps, the veil was removed basically. As soon as we landed, we were getting downloads, upgrades. Our vision was so strong in our sleep states, in our meditations. And we were both going, wow, this is so profound. So the energy was calling us there for a while. And then this trip just intercepted. And within 3 months, we were going to Egypt. That's how kind of fast it happened for us. We didn't have plans to do it so soon, especially with everything that's carried out on the planet recently. And just going there and just being spontaneous and moving into that frequency was upgrading in ourselves, like merging back past lives and the energies from past lives, good and bad, all beautiful experiences in the duality of them, but coming back in for us, we're feeling like new humans coming home after that trip, really solid in knowings, our wisdom, and just that stable energy in our being. Lifetimes were experienced in the lands down in Egypt. And for us to go back there with these open eyes, open hearts to receive this beautiful information and energies was profound, to probably say the least.
Hey. Yeah, that's so beautiful. I feel the same way. It's like going there was an affirmation for my soul. Like, okay, all this work, all this connection to higher consciousness, this is like the grounding point. So like now it's like my life after Egypt, because it reaffirmed everything that I thought. Like I've always had this affinity towards Egypt. And when I went there, it's like, ah, okay, I'm back to the homeland, right? It's an incredible feeling. And I just felt like so much of my heart was open. I mean, I feel like I'm an open-hearted person, but being in these, each one of these temples, it activated like a different chakra for me or a different energy center where like the totality of everything was every single experience that I needed in order for me to move into this next phase of my life.
Yeah, I really feel that. Like when I walked into the Great Pyramid, we did the first two first, and then we walked into the Great Pyramid of Giza, and Peter and I were tired by that stage because it was like 10 o'clock at night, right? And we're still dealing with the trip over from Australia and all the rest of it. And as soon as we walked in, I got your home message and this full-on activation through my whole entire being, this vibration of excitement and wisdom, because I kind of gotten to the point where I'm like ready for bed, I'm done. And as soon as we walked into this beautiful structure, it was just like on. And yeah, we just had so many beautiful like experiences in that experience through going into the King's Chamber and feeling the vibration, a lot of like memories. Our wisdom lifetimes were coming back to us as well, which was really beautiful. Yeah.
Beautiful. And you guys are so very connected to not only your own souls, but you do communicate with extra dimensionals and extraterrestrials as well. So based on all of that, going to Egypt, what do you feel like, or if you got any insight as to what these sites were made for?
Well, certainly I think that they were probably made before the Egyptian civilization as we know it today was established. I think they've been there a long time. We really resonate with the Emerald Tablets and the story of Thoth, the Atlantean, bringing the wisdom teachings from Atlantis at that time to the many colonies of Atlantis, one of which being the land of Kem, which is Egypt. And the pyramids themselves seemed to have been from those ancient teachings and descriptions, some sort of energy creation devices for the purpose of mostly healing of physical self and the integration of basically the mind-body-spirit complex so that these souls can reach higher dimensional spaces, the halls of Amenti, traveling interdimensionally through the stargates. And at that time, the consciousness of the planet was probably very high. So people were aware that that was something that they aspired to do. So I think only really after, let's call it the Younger Dryas period, or after that great catastrophe, which pretty much everyone's starting to agree on now, even mainstream archaeology is basically going, yeah, well, kind of, there was probably a big reset, right? But so I think the pyramids were constructed before that reset. Hence, we hear the story of why all the cover stones were almost shaken off. We saw how big they were. Like, we were looking at them. It's like, no one's going to come along and pick them up and take them away. Like, something happened there on that land. And when you're there, you'd see it and experience it. But from the way they sit on aquifers and water and the way they're aligned with the magnetic fields of the earth, kind of makes sense that people who, let's say, had evolved in an area of science different to ours. So while they might not have had an iPhone and a plastic cup and LED screen, what they may have had was these ability to be able to work with the earth, work with sacred geometry, work with the elemental realm to create something which seemed to heal the human physically, emotionally, mentally, so that then they could connect spiritually. So from my understanding and the readings that we've done, that's sort of our best guess. Like everyone, no one's sure one way or the other. And I'm very open to other perspectives as well. But for myself and what I went through, when we got to lie in that sarcophagus and there were people chanting and humming around me, and I could feel my heart chakra open and that pineal gland start to vibrate. And I didn't get very long in there. However, it just gave me a glimpse that that was perhaps what it's for. Is that consistent with a lot of other people you've interviewed on the trip?
Yeah, absolutely. So I talked to a few different people. I mean, they all pretty much feel the same way. And I think that after the fall of Atlantis, he brought this technology over as a kind of a warning for future generations. There was definitely an educational component. And what I find is when I went inside the chamber and in any of the pyramids for that matter or temples, it was like the first question is like, oh my goodness, how did they do this? It's so grandiose. It's so wild. It blows your mind open. I think it's exactly done to do that, to make you expand your mind and be like, how was this created so long ago? So it makes you want to think, okay, I can do the same thing if I'm made up of the same creational elements. What is stopping me from thinking bigger or thinking larger or deepening into my heart? And then also the aspect of meeting spirit with science and combining the two, that's really how we ascend. And when we're just looking at the science part of it, it can get very, very sticky, as we see right now in the world where there's not a lot of spirituality or God behind the science of things that are going on. But if you look at the ancient Hindus, the ancient Egyptians, so many ancient cultures, Native Americans, they used both and they held the sacredness of science and spirit. It was the same. It was one science.
Yeah, totally agree. It's got to be some sort of vibrational instrument as well, I feel, to amplify your vibration in the body, in the field, so then we can tap into higher consciousness. And in that moment, I feel like that is interdimensional travel and moving in connection with Pleiadians, the Octarians, and other ascended masters that are above in a higher frequency. And the intention of raising the vibration through these instruments, the pyramids, potentially was to tap into higher intelligence.
Yeah, absolutely. I think our mind is the entire universe, I believe. So like we have access to any of these places. Were they physically traveling to different dimensions or were they able to do it mentally and opening up their pineal gland? Like we both have done ayahuasca and I want to go into your experience with that. We've opened up our pineal glands through meditation and through different ways. And you're in a different place, but you haven't physically moved your body, right? It's just maybe your energetic or your ethereal body has moved to a different location. But I think that they had this technology and it was being used consistently by people and more people had knowledge to it. It wasn't held in secret back then. And I think it's so important that this renaissance is coming now. And it's so beautiful to talk to you guys because you've dedicated your whole life to not only ascending yourself and meeting your higher soul and your consciousness, but also helping other people to get to that place. So I would love to get into your background. Tell us a little bit about how you got to this place.
The neighbors just started doing some work, earth moving on the land.
A good place to come.
So yeah, we weren't always awake and aware. We were mindful. Okay. So we did some meditation and Pete taught Alpha the brain states all around the world. That was his job, speaking, but it didn't go deeper than that into consciousness and into the healing aspect. So very mental. So yeah, when we met, I was an insurance broker. And not long after we got together, we started our own insurance brokerage. And we built that up over 5 years, having the children in that kind of journey. We were juggling it like real entrepreneurs with an office and staff and babies being fed and hustling on the phone. And at one point, I just said to Pete, something's got to give. We can't keep doing this. Like I was exhausted. The business had really flourished, which was amazing. And he said, all right, well, maybe we should sell and pivot in our life. So I was like, oh my God, I can't do that. Like this is our main income. What would we do? So the fear started kicking in. I slept on it. And then overnight, something in me just went, yes, we're doing that. So we sold the insurance brokerage and had 1 year off. And that was in 2018, 2019, this period here. And we started to have this awakening. I was ordering clothes online and packages and all these things coming to the house and I'd open it. And eventually I got to the point where I was just unfulfilled by that. And that wasn't going to fill this void that I didn't realize was even there. So one night we had a bit of a dilemma. I got triggered by Pete and he didn't do anything wrong. He just was that male character coming in and triggering that little girl in me. And I basically moved out for a week with the kids. And that's when our awakening happened. And I sat on the beach for a week praying to anything that would listen, basically. And we didn't really believe in God. We didn't go to church or pray over our dinner or anything like that. But we knew that there was a higher aspect. Something had created us. We're familiar with the word God, but it didn't really feel like we had to go to church and pray with that. So I was sitting on the beach just praying to God or anything that would listen. And basically at that same time, our brother was in Rhythmia doing plant medicine and he sent us unconditional love on that full moon that I was sitting on the beach that week and something activated in me. And I realized at that point I was having an awakening. And so I rang Pete and I was like, oh, it's not you, it's me. I'm having an awakening.
And I just love hearing that.
So yeah, moved back into the house of the kids. That was all, sorry. It was like I'm having this emotional.
Are you still apologizing to him?
Yeah. Like how we had this. This is how it happened.
Yeah.
Girl moving out, being overreactive by the male. This is the trigger of my unhealed parts of my childhood with men, right? With my father, with my stepfather. And so from that point, we learned about the plant medicine. Dan came back from Costa Rica, shared the story. And I thought, oh, Pete's not going to do this. This is too woo-woo for him. And then he said, hey, Rox, I think we need to go to Costa Rica and do plant medicine. So off we went, 2019 in November. We got there and back before the world kind of had its mass awakening in that way. And that's where the journey started into the healing on the way home on the plane. The Palladians started communicating with us. And at that point, we didn't even realize aliens were real. Like this planet was in that only my consciousness, right? So we were expanding and they were like, remember, you were going to have the awakening and yeah, we're going to bridge the gap between galactic and the planet and we're here for the mission, remember? I'm like, oh my God.
Boom, that was the first conversation that they had.
On the plane ride home from America on that Costa Rica trip. And So that's when Awakening Education was born. And we realized, both of us, we're here for the mission, but just for now, we'll talk about consciousness, not that other ET stuff. And yeah, so little by little, we elevated and healed and did more healing and really went into our soul and got confident with this galactic connection. And that's when we started sharing our story online. Yeah.
Amazing. And Pete, you actually had that same experience as well, right? So you were both getting awakened or getting communicated to at the same time. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would say that I needed to heal some stuff within myself before the connection was enough that I went, wow, there's something to this. I actually was fortunate enough to grow up in a family in and around Deepak. So going on a long trip in the car, Dad's got the old cassettes, right? You know, the book, putting on Deepak Chopra cassettes and Wayne Dyer and like all these different metaphysical teachers. And I'd been around the information. I'd been to Tony Robbins. I'd been to other types of self-help type things. But it was all very much about self-help in order to help me achieve more. And the idea is if I achieve more, then I'll feel better. Then you feel proud of yourself. Then you're a provider for your family, all of that sort of thing. What I found was when I went to plant medicine and when I merged back with my soul and I healed that five-year-old boy who had that split when that traumatic stuff happened in my childhood, when I went through that, then I realized I didn't need things outside myself anymore. Everything I needed was within. And that was the breakthrough. That breakthrough to realize that I'm enough right now is something which I would call was the awakening. That's what the true process is. And it comes from, I often joke about it, but it comes from spitting in the bucket. It comes from crying on the bed. It comes from the dark night of the soul, like where it just shows this is where you were, right? And so when I was five, I took my little sister for a walk down to the creek after heavy rain and she fell off the bridge into the stream and she drowned. And I had to go home and tell my mum that my little sister had drowned. And that's what plant medicine took me to. So the lady lying next to me, sobbing and crying, almost like moaning, in her experience in my mind with the ayahuasca present took me and that sound and this amazing mix of it all took me to five on the bed, curled up, listening to my mother down the hallway, making those sounds into the toilet as she cried and retched over the death of my sister. And that's where I split. So that's where I took on carrying burdens, pleasing people. I had issues with females my whole life, pleasing women syndrome, pleasing my mum, trying to please my sister, please my first wife. Of course, law of attraction is trying to help me to fix that. So I got three daughters. I'm trying to please them. And it's like the universe is going, Pete, you got to work on your female issues, right? And I'm there going, if I make more money, if I achieve more, then I'll feel happy, right? And it's like this divine game, the illusion that we're in, the matrix. And when you truly awaken, you see it all for what it is and you smile. And instead of going, oh, that was such a horrible, crappy thing that happened in my life, you smile and you see the infinite creator in it. You see that it's part of a divine purpose that my soul had to go through. And some of the experiences I've had, deep meditation, connecting, my sister's come through. And it's like so funny how spirit could come through. She's like, I don't know what you're giving yourself such a hard time for. She's like, you get born. 2.5 years later, I get born. You take me down to the creek. I fall off the bridge and drown. You feel like shit for the next 40 years. And then one day you're going to stop being an insurance broker and you'll start doing these calls and activating other light workers and encouraging other people to do the inner work. And that's what plant medicine showed me. And that's why I couldn't just go back with Roxy and start another insurance business. I mean, we could have done that because we'd done it twice and sold them and done well, right? We had a plan, a model that worked. It's like wasn't aligned with who we were. So we went into this new area knowing nothing, right? Really. It's like, really, you just start in there. But what you do have is the power of your experience, your realization, and how that has affected us. And like that in itself is the message. And I'm a big believer in that saying, what you are speaks so loudly, people can't hear what you're saying. So in other words, you've got to embody the principles that you have learned, that you've experienced. Like there's plenty of people who know more than me. They've read more books. They've been into spirituality way longer than I have, been on different hikes and treks and this and that and the other. And when I get to know them, they're dull, they're judgy, they got, God bless them, issues. And I could see it and feel it because sometimes I think people can spiritually bypass. It's easier to buy another book or go on a retreat than to sit there and go back to yourself at five and go into unloved, unacknowledged, guilt, shame, et cetera, et cetera. You get what I mean? It's, like, yeah. It's not very pleasant. I'm not saying it was for Roxy equally as tough, right? But she addressed her things. So when we're in front of you now, when we meet on the trip and instantly we get along, like there's been a process, right, to get to that.
Yeah, understand. It wasn't easy. Each one of us had a difficult path just to get to that place where we can be open-hearted and allow love into our life, allow friendship, and be open in who we are authentically. And that's what you guys, that you come across so strong as powerhouses, is because you are embodying this life. It's not like there's so many people that can just talk a good game. And I'm sure there's so many influencers out there, and no judgment at all, right? Everyone's going through their own journey. They can say the greatest things, but their life is not necessarily happy, or they're living in true alignment. And the embodiment aspect is so important. I'm very similar to you in that I just sought education and knowledge and did all the Tony Robbins events, which, by the way, life-changing. I love that stuff. And all the books, I have an enormous library and just, yeah, try to accumulate knowledge so much. I was understanding it up here, but the moment I did the plant medicine, it sank into here, into my heart. And that's why, like, oh, that's what the missing element was. And it was so simple, right? The simplicity of just being in here most of the time and checking in with this rather than this and traveling that enormous distance from the head to the heart. It's only a couple of inches, but it's the longest journey you'll ever make in your life, right?
Absolutely. You think you're all good. That ego keeps you in this, yeah, you're sweet. And then next minute you're like, oh man, the more you think you know, the more you don't know.
100%. And yeah, I always find anytime I'm going through any challenges, it's always coming because of the thinking brain. And whenever I sink into the feeling and the heart space and what would love do at this moment, then things get super simple for me. But yeah, it's like an ongoing challenge to navigate and surf this like 3D world while also trying to understand the 4D and then ascend to 5D. And I watched a video of yours that you guys did regarding the three different dimensions that we're currently experiencing. Can you tell us a little bit about the 3D, 4D, and 5D?
Yeah, look, I think that all around us at the moment on the planet is so much 3D. Like, we live in a bubble in our countries. Where we live, we're blessed that we have freedom to express ourselves, freedom to think, even though we might get fat checked, but you know what I mean? But most of the time, right, we're free to come and go and think and move and et cetera. But you think there are a lot of countries, a lot of continents on this planet where there are still people in lack. Like, you would have seen this coming from the airport in Egypt. It struck me, the number of people who are in lack vibration, survival, desperation. And of course, that undercurrent of that energy runs through millions, hundreds of millions of people on this planet. Mm-hmm. So for us having this conversation, for the people watching this, the sort of soul who's watching this interview right would be an old soul, a soul that has come in for a mission to help those hundreds of millions of other souls who are down there low vibrationally. There is a saying, the rising tide lifts all of the boats. As we work on our consciousness, we affect the consciousness of them. So 3D has a lot of different levels to it. And the third density, or 3D that we often refer to, is the lower vibrational expressions of consciousness. And the biggest examples I explain, but it's the lack and the guilt and just basic survival. And then the higher up you go, you're still into guilt and shame, and there is manipulation and there is control, which while people might say, oh, we're certainly above that over here in civilized society. Okay, well, in our civilized societies, isn't there a lot of manipulation and twisting of the truth and underhand and coercion and backstabbing? All of that would demonstrate the 3D consciousness or third density. Would you expand any others? That how would you tie in?
Yeah, and service to self is 3D. So bigger house, bigger car, the ego, not thinking of others. It's all service self, and how can I accumulate more? And a lot of people are living in this frequency on the planet, the 3D matrix, because they haven't seen behind the curtain yet of what could be. Because some of them don't even want to look. They're like, no, don't want to see that. Because it means they have to feel. And they're in their head when we're in 3D. So the separation of the self, separation of even knowing there's a divine, or that we're a soul walking on this planet. And yeah, so when we move into 4D, the fourth dimension, we're having this awakening now where we're moving up in frequency. So we might have had an awakening, like I moved out from peak, for example, wasn't happy, wasn't fulfilled, moving out of service to self, thinking about, okay, how can I fulfill this void that I keep trying to fill with shopping, right? With clothes that just don't keep filling that healed part of me. So we're moving into the fourth dimension and we're feeling like, okay, our heart's starting to open just slightly. And we know emotions are starting to turn on. We start to feel things more. So instead of feeling that judgment or making judgment, we might stop from judging and we have more compassion and love for people. And as we rise up through the frequency and we raise our vibration, we're moving into the higher sub-levels of the fifth dimension. So we have to go up through a series of densities within the dimension, okay? So there's like levels of the game inside one dimension. It's not a game, it's not a test or anything, but it's to raise your vibration. Every density has a frequency match to it, a signature match to that level. And so when we're raising our vibration, we're starting to drop away the unhealed parts of ourselves. We're shedding the layers and we're seeing more from a higher perspective. We're having more compassion for people in 3D, realizing they're just babies learning how to crawl, walk, learning their consciousness. More of our DNA strands are coming online too. We're moving from when we were born, we have like two strands of DNA available to us. And as we raise our vibration, our consciousness, we start to learn and grow as a soul in this lifetime and heal, we have more and more of those DNA strands coming on in the fourth dimension. And some of us on the planet now are tapping in and out of the 5D, the fifth dimension. And that's where we're seeing bliss state. We're connecting with interdimensional beings because we're raising our vibration for that connection. So we're moving out of service to self into service to others. We might become a healer or see how we can help each other, start a podcast to share great information. It's like, how can I help? I'm here for the mission. I understand this mission. And I'm moving into that state, that frequency of love and togetherness.
And the collective, as we sort of do that, the collective moves up, as I mentioned, the rising tide. So in 1988, it started. And through to 1990, which was said to be a significant year for humanity, there was a shift in consciousness. So humanity as a collective can be muscle tested, and through proper calibrations, they can get an idea as to what the overall consciousness of the planet is approximately at. And through those couple of years, and let's call it 1988 to keep it simple, the consciousness of the collective went just over the level of 220, which is significant on the scale of consciousness. And it's called David Hawkins' scale of consciousness. And the number of 220 was quite significant because what it meant was the planet went from basically being more negative to, after that date, becoming more positive.
So before, and it was in a negative state, and now then it went up to 220.
That's right. And it started to shift. And the calibration of the Earth now is still in and around, let's say, the 220 to 250 mark. And those higher levels of 3D are playing out, as I was mentioning to you, about the coercion and the control and the manipulation, all for service to self, let's call them beings, people, depending on how you want to go with this conversation, whether you want to go to entities, whether you want to go down the reptilian path.
Let's go all of the above. Let's get into it, guys.
So a negatively polarized being, the ultimate thing, once they've got everything they want, is control and power, right? They want to have control and they want to have power. So what's playing out on the planet right now, and let's call it the war on consciousness, is this play for power, to control the masses, to manipulate the people, and to keep them in sort of blind subserviency to the 1%, let's call it. It's probably a lot less than 1%, but you get the idea. When old souls who seem to get led to this sort of information, when they wake up, because a lot of people just want to follow because within them, right, they are unhealed. So they want to believe that the government's got their best interests at heart. Like, some people actually believe that. Some people actually believe the FDA cares for their health. Like, figure that. Like, we would laugh when we talk about that. But some people actually believe that the fact checkers are actually non-biased.
Yeah, they're not paid. Like, who's just like volunteering to be a fact check? No, it's an organization that's completely funded by certain entities. It's like, oh yeah, because it says fact check on it. Oh yeah, it's ridiculous.
Right. So we're at this stage. A lot of people watching this would get it. And I love it. Like, when you get a friend who newly awakens to all of this, when you teach them all the stuff, they got to learn about adrenochrome and kids in the tunnels, and they got to learn about how Big Pharma and the media companies and the politicians, they're all in it together, helping one another. And someone starts to wake up, and let's say they become awake to the illusion that we're all being controlled and manipulated. The first step when often a person wakes, I call it, they sort of become socially awake. They're moving into lower 4D, but the first thing they want to do is save everyone. They start sharing things all over the net. You've got to know about this. There's a march here. We've got to sign this petition, do this, do that. Because they have this moment where they go, holy heck, everyone else is asleep and I've got to save them. Mm-hmm. I've got to shake the tree, rattle them. And then sometimes they get angry and they go, you this and that and the other, you're asleep, you're all mindless sheep, but da 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 da. I mean, now we see that, like, And we go, oh, look at that. Look at that person. They're in anger and they're guilty and they're projecting. And you know what? They're not respecting that every single soul has got their own journey. So as you move through 4D, while you realize we're all one, you also realize that free will is our greatest gift. And we don't need to actually get anyone to change. The person's got to choose to want to change themselves. How do you get them to change? Well, the way you do it is by your works, you shall know them. Be the light. You embody, as we talked about, those principles, and the person goes, wow, what are you into? You seem happy. What are you watching? What do you believe? What do you eat? What do you consume? What information do you, etc.? And that's how the person changes, through embodying what the outcome is. As soon as we go to guilt, shame, anger, we've got to fight. I mean, you can't fight the war on consciousness, the war on terror, the war on whatever it is, through starting a war, through anger. You're just moving back down in the levels of consciousness. So as you move through 4D and you realize we're all one, you respect everyone's free will to choose. It's a lot easier for yourself to embody those principles, kindness, compassion, empathy, understanding. Like, someone's horrible, someone's difficult, someone pushes your buttons. And when you're in this highly more aware state, you're able to go, oh, listen, the poor them, right? They were overlooked as a child, or they never felt loved, or they never got heard. So now they're trying to force their opinions down everyone's neck. They're the loud one at the party. They've got to have the last say. It plays out. And instead of going, that guy's a jerk, you see that poor guy had stuff happen from his childhood. He hasn't cleared it out yet, and it's just playing out. So as a person, you embody those principles of that 4D consciousness, and then you start to tap into 5D. And in 5D, you're tapping into like the level of wisdom. And in the level of wisdom, you realize everything happens for a reason. Everything's connected. That means the bad stuff too. So it's like, yeah, law of attraction, law of vibration, you hear about all these things, the law of resonance, wow, they all sound so interesting. And then you go, well, why have I got a flat tire then? Or, why do I book this meeting with someone and they keep changing the date or canceling it, or something comes up and we can't get there? Like, what's the block? I'm working on this project, I'm passionate about it, I'm putting my heart into it. Why is there a block? And instead of going, why me? It's not fair. If you're not healed, you go to, it's my fault. Oh, this must be my block. Or, I love this one, or maybe I picked up an entity the other day. And it's got me. And that's why the project's not working. It's stifling my pineal gland. Yeah.
It's a fluoride.
So people make up all this stuff. And you know what? It's not that. It's you, right? There's no entity. It's the person's got unhealed stuff. The law of attraction brings you the good stuff, but it brings you the bad stuff. So whenever something is not going well in your life, that is an opportunity for us to reflect within and go, what is this trying to show me? What is unhealed in me? What can I learn from this? And as you learn to do that, it's like a skill. The more you do it, the better you get. So, in the beginning, and when you first get into this, like, someone does something to you, like stabs you in the back or talks behind your back and you find out about it or whatever, or like family's the best trigger. Something happens in the family and you're like, right, I'm not talking to them. And you don't talk for like a month because it takes you a while to calm down and you get over it. And then something happens again, probably family, but you're doing your self-help work and you're doing some crying and some journaling and breath work and all these different modalities. And someone triggers you again. And this time you're only ticked off for a week, right? And then you go, you know what? It's probably me. Yeah, I see them because they're unhealed. That's why they did it. Then it gets down to a day to get over it. And then it takes an hour to get over it. And now you get triggered, but you can get over it in like 5 or 10 minutes. It's like we still get triggered. It might still be there. And there can be patterns that keep showing up in a person's life. You know, so a person might say, I'm doing the inner work. And when does it stop? When does it get easy? I love that question. And the answer is, it never does. However, the time it takes you to see the lesson, feel into the emotion, gets shorter and shorter because your relationship with yourself is improving, your awareness is improving. So that's embodying 5D consciousness. It's a level of wisdom. And when you're in that state, you can then tap into things outside yourself that are consistent with that rate of vibration. So in other words, when you're in 3D, it might be the analogy of the ice cube. You're like a block of ice. You're very dense. As your vibration goes up, you move into the liquid. As your vibration then goes up higher, you move into steam. You're still the same person, but as your rate of vibration goes up, you can experience things a lot differently. And of course, as steam, as water vapor, we can float around and look down and move into other things and tune into other, let's call it, types of matter. That's a little bit like 5D consciousness is like. As we move, integrate with more of our higher self, as we become more a being of light through raising our vibration, this is how you can tap into higher vibrational information and higher vibrational beings and have higher vibrational experiences. And you can do that through some sort of aid, like a plant medicine or a breath work. But you can also do that through Kundalini yoga or through daily practice, through the cleansing of the inner child and working on the self. And the experience of that then affects all the different areas of your life, because the more you address the law of attraction, bringing in the bad things, the more the good things start coming in as well. So you end up in the right place at the right time. You're spotting feathers and rainbows and seeing 2-2-2-3-3-3 on the clock. And you're like, oh, whoa, I'm in flow. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so beautiful the way that you described it. Anytime we want to level up in this game, we have to come to a new level of awareness. And the same things would happen to me over and over and over. And I'd be blaming other people. Oh, my family, they're just not going to change. The moment I started looking at people in my family differently, as if they were the childhood version of themselves and the challenges that they went through and the utter like hardships that they had to go through and maintain, and this is how they had to become in order to maintain sanity and to move forward in life, then it started clicking in my mind like, okay, maybe when we start looking at everybody as a childhood version of themselves and looking at them from a place of love, you start to understand that that's where everybody wants to vibrate. And this is the lesson that's going to keep coming to you in your life until you come to that level of awareness. It's going to come over and over and over. And sometimes you meet the same people in relationships and the same things happen. Oh, they do this and they do this and they do this. It's for a reason. It's exactly the way that the universe wants to show you. You don't level up until we start changing that perspective. And yeah, the way that you described it is absolutely perfect.
Old family. The ultimate triggers, hey?
The ultimate triggers. It's funny because even, yeah, like you said, we're moving in and out of 3D, 4D, 5D. When we were in Egypt, I just felt like we were in 5D the whole time, right? And then I feel like I came back and I was like such an evolved spiritual soul, right? And then I go visit my mom and there was one thing that she said that just completely triggered me. And I was like, oh my goodness, what is happening to me? I'm contracting. So it's like, we really have to watch it. And it's a beautiful thing, this life of ours, because yeah, like everything was super simple. There would be no growth, right? What would be the point of living in these 3D reality? We're here for a certain reason. And all the bad things that are happening right now with what's going on with control and power and fear, scarcity, all this kind of stuff. I feel like the construct of this 3D world, whoever has been constructing it over the last 1,000 years or whatever, has wanted to make it a place of scarcity or perceived scarcity, right? But the moment you start realizing, wait, it's not a scarce place, we start changing that and thinking, okay, we could grow abundance of food for everybody. And the United States throws away more food to feed the entire world in a day. So it's like, how do we start unraveling this version of scarcity? And once people start living into love and compassion and togetherness, then we can start ascending. But I know like once you get into the 4D and there's got to be an element of these darker entities, they have to understand the spiritual game because they wouldn't be able to control if they didn't know some of that. So how does that kind of, how do you reconcile all of that when they know the spiritual part of it? But yet in the 4D, I know that there's many different entities that can reside in those places. So can you tell us a little bit about how that transitional dimension works? And are there negative aspects to it in the same thing as the positive?
I think the service to self plays here in the fourth dimension. So they're not going to graduate to higher states of consciousness if their heart doesn't open. Okay. So that is kind of like the law, the law on growing and becoming in that higher vibrational state of fifth dimension, manifestation, bliss, flow. You're not going to achieve that level without opening the heart. So these beings, these entities that are throwing manipulative, negative energy patterns across the globe to control and to keep the humans, the souls in a lower frequency, they haven't actually entered into the heart space yet. They're addicted to control manipulation, right? So these negative polarized beings will never graduate unless they do the inner work. That is kind of the law of the universe, right? That gift is only given to the student that will do the inner work, find the inner wisdom and open their heart to the divine, to that connection, to that love, to that unity.
Ra talks about this in the Law of One, talking about for a soul to graduate, the scale we were talking about before, we need to move over the level of 500. So 500 is that level where officially the soul graduates or moves on. People say, how do you get out of this karmic link? Oh, I just keep getting incarnated over and over. And what if next time I'm going to incarnate low and et cetera? Well, in the Law of One, it speaks very clearly about the graduation happening from the opening of the heart. As in this lifetime, we have to make the choice of whether we're going to go from service to self versus service to others. Once we graduate, once we move over the level of 500, which incidentally is the level of love.
Are you talking about in Hertz?
Scale of consciousness, yeah.
Okay.
Is the level of love. And I'd like to share too that the level of love being at 500 has above it joy, happiness, spontaneity. They are actually high vibrational calibrations above the level of love because they are the expression of the love out to the outward.
The embodiment.
In other words, sometimes people can be very loving and it's really beneficial at a big picture for a person to be up on a hill in the back end of Tibet, hiding away from everyone in a state of love and bliss, sending that vibration out around the planet because that's lifting, right? The tide lifting the vibration of the collective of the whole. My point to that would be though, it's a lot more beneficial for a person to be in that same calibration and to be walking down the street in Brisbane, Australia, or in New York. And as Roxy says, sending love bombs and dealing with difficult people and dealing with coercion and noise and the real 3D. But that's more difficult is what
I'm saying.
That's
the real work. Yeah, for sure.
That's the real work. That's harder. And of course, being then the demonstration that I spoke about earlier, that's what a light worker is. That's what a way shower is. It's showing the way. And the way you show the way is through your joy of life. That's what the spark of the divine is. The spark of the divine is, like we talked about, the children at two. Like the most beautiful thing about a two-year-old is they'll smile at everyone. Even someone, people might say, oh, they're particularly ugly. The child just smiles at them, plays with them. They don't see the outward. They see the inward. So when you hear these terms, you're the spark of the divine, part of this lovely journey is to find that spark that you came in with. But sometimes as soon as we come in as this spark of the divine, particularly if you're listening to this and you're an old soul, you can probably relate to this. As soon as you got in your mother's womb, you probably picked up on things that you were better off not knowing. Mum and dad are fighting. Mum didn't even want me in the first place. Or you get born and then you're a disappointment. You're boy number six, you're girl number six or whatever it is. And they're like, oh, hell, another one or whatever it is. And you grow up all through your life, right from the beginning, this pure soul getting all these different impressions. And the divine game of Leela that's talked about is that we go through all of this, hopefully, if we come out the other side while we're on this planet and realize that it's actually all a game in order for us to find that spark that came in. And if you find that spark, you graduate, you move to the level of love. My sister dying wasn't a terrible tragedy that wrecked my life. It was actually all set up for my soul to have an experience. Like, this is the source. Like, this is the stuff of what real spirituality looks like practically. People can talk about all the most fandangled things in the world, but when you live it, by their works you shall know them. And the way some people go, I just don't feel passionate about anything. Oh, I don't really have enthusiasm. I would say, yes, you do. You still probably just got work to do. There's probably some sort of false belief in there, in and around happiness or excitement, or it was probably never demonstrated by your parents. And sometimes you can meet people and they have a very narrow range of feeling. Ever known someone like that? It's like they're almost a bit like a block of concrete. I mean, they smile from time to time, but like I don't reckon they've belly laughed in years to the point where their eyes water, and they probably haven't really like cried into emotions and really experienced that depth, which is the wonderful slingshot to get you higher. You have your ups and your downs, slingshotting you up higher and higher as we move through this human experience. So while there are service to self beings and entities around, and while they can perfect themselves in the level of wisdom, if we merge this over with other, let's call them extraterrestrial races, the Greys were a very good example of how a species could develop themselves very high in the level of wisdom, only to realize that when they neglected the heart and the emotions and those aspects, even their physical aspect of their being, all to become more intelligent, you pay a price because you're not in balance. Everything in the universe needs to stay in balance. So we need to stay in balance physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. They were very, very smart, but they started thinking, well, we're not going to waste energy with reproduction. We're not going to waste energy with a robust body. So they got smaller, thinner, frailer, and their DNA really started to break down. And now the Galactic Federation is helping that species to rebuild because they went down a path which was service to self. They've realized that they weren't going to be able to reach the sixth dimension unless they learned to feel. So while, if we turn it to the Galactic Federation for a moment, if you don't
mind. Yeah, let's pivot into that.
So
you're on a roll, babe.
While the Galactic Federation is wanting to help humanity so that humanity doesn't just start another nuclear war and do a reset, but like what happened 10,000 years ago, when we had to have this great reset. I mean, right now we could have a great reset, right? Things could go one way or the other. So while we've moved into the golden age and it's the age of Aquarius and the sun's pulsing us with solar flares and, you know, the Schumann resonance shows that consistently that ionosphere of the planet radiating at high frequencies, triggering some people, helping others to awaken, and there's ascension symptoms talk. The universe is helping us. But higher levels of consciousness are helping us as well, not just because they don't want us to blow ourselves up, but because as we move into to embody fifth, sixth dimensional consciousness, we can be of service to the Galactic Federation, because a soul incarnating as a human on Earth versus another planet has a massive difference on how fast and how wise that soul becomes. Because on a lot of planets and in a lot of different species, they don't have free will. So they might incarnate over again, but they remember everything they've learned the first time. They don't really have free will either to choose stuff it. You know what? In this life, I'm just going to sail my yacht, drink booze and, you know, shag and like live a life. I'm having life off, so to speak. Enough with the soul work. From one to the other, we come in, veil of forgetfulness, then we get free will, right? So that we can choose not to do it if we don't want as well. And then we fall under the illusion of time. And within that illusion of time ties in with that, all these false things that come in with our free will, all these complications that make our soul's journey, while difficult, incredibly beautiful, because we grow emotionally, we grow with wisdom and with the mind. But also, we grow up in an environment which is heavily polluted. So there's junk in our air, there's junk in our food, there's junk in our water. We're exposed to all this electromagnetic radiation. So our DNA, the human vessel, the physical vessel, is very robust. So the information that we provide to the Galactic Federation, and in return, they are helping us to lift our vibration as well. It's totally a partnership. Like, we are truly partners in this together, and we are like the indigo child, the gifted ones that are coming up now for us, these beautiful kids born with all this wisdom beyond their years. It's like the humans are like that, but we haven't moved into our full potential yet. But what Roxy and I like tap into, like when we tap into the Galactic Federation ship, and like we work with people in med beds, helping them, like the sort of soul who's like this, who's going, I'd love to connect. I'm so interested, but I know I've got blocks. I know I've got things, and I'm not even really sure what it is. It's like they can go up there, and when they lie down and allow themselves to really let this higher intelligence scan over them to pinpoint for them, perhaps where they split from their soul, where the densities or the blocks lie, people can very quickly get guidance as to where they can use their own free will, because no one can heal anyone. Something outside yourself solving your problems doesn't fix it, because remember, physical imperfections in the body are just a manifestation of some sort of underlying false belief or emotional injury that has been ignored and suppressed over and over and over until you can't ignore it anymore, and it manifests itself in whatever it might be, a tumor, an ulcer, et cetera, et cetera. Heat, repressed stuff. So magically fixing it doesn't solve the problem. And there are a lot of people out there go, when are the real med beds going to come? Because I'm... can't wait for him to come, you know. Bring
like a pizza, just sitting around waiting for it.
Yeah. They want to be able to do whatever and accept no responsibility. Your soul doesn't learn from that. I mean, come on. Like, we know this. You can get guidance from higher dimensional bit. You can have your intention. I really need help with my healing. Can I get some energy and some help? I mean, it's the same concept as a prayer. It's the same concept of asking for divine love, for God, for source, or whatever the person believes in, to help them. But once we use our free will and identify where our false beliefs or our blocks are, and we let them go, that forgiveness and that exercise of choice, like, we've seen people that don't get their stomach ulcer anymore. They don't have that problem, that this, that, that. It was just that unhealed part manifesting itself. They've broken that energy flow. So what we're tapping into is these higher dimensional beings, and the point that right now on the earth, we're at this critical period. The people watching this who are interested in this sort of information, and some people might have stumbled on you from the like Tony Robbins line, and they're like, far out, man. Smoke too much dope. I don't smoke dope. I'm sorry to say, right? I'm not into any of that stuff. But what I am into is how when you clear your density within yourself, you can raise your vibration. And guess what? When you raise your vibration, we've got way more than just our five senses. We've got our five inner senses. Everyone's heard we're only using 5 or 10% of our brain. We can learn to develop our extra senses and tap into a whole lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. So the ETs, the extra dimensionals, they obviously are heavily invested in us and humanity as a whole, right? But what is their level of how involved can they get to, right? So like you said, we're at a very critical juncture in humanity's time. We could either go into the Great Reset, which the World Economic Forum wants, or we could go into the Great Awakening, where everyone obviously goes inward and starts awakening their own self so that everybody's consciousness can get raised, right? Is there a point where they can just interfere? Because obviously we see a lot of things now that the government's saying, oh, there's UFOs, but I don't necessarily know if those are like the UFOs or they're like real or if they're just kind of Project Bluebeam going on.
Yeah, that's right. You've got to use your discernment and wash everything through your heart compass, what rings true for you. And that Project Blue Beam or Blue Book or whatever, that is probably a potential and on the cards for humanity. It's a scare tactic. It's a fear-mongering scare tactic to keep the soul's consciousness in lower vibration. I mean, if ships started rolling in, of course, everyone would run and hide in their homes. They'll be overwhelmed. They've been programmed year in, year out for decades that off-planet extraterrestrials are here to harm us.
Yeah, all the movies. Yeah, right.
Absolutely. It's playing out on Netflix right now. UFO movies constantly. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's all this programming happening. And it's no different to the government and their disclosure. They're not really giving us disclosure. They're entering an idea and putting an idea in people's head that this is real. And then they put the programming in other areas of life through television, through movies, and through the media. Now, the higher vibrational beings that we are connecting with are not going to infringe on a lower vibrational being's free will, okay? They're not going to enter into this space and go, come on, guys, hurry up and heal. That's not what the divine does. When you elevate your frequency, and Peach just described service to self into service to others, and that bliss state, that flow state, that connection to the divine, when you get to that point, you just smile at these beautiful babies learning to crawl and walk, like I said before. You smile at that because they get to learn and expand their consciousness through that experience. You don't do it for them. However, when you have an intention and you raise your vibration, that frequency, you get to realize you come up above the kind of glass and you go, oh, hey, guys, there's all these beings here. And that's what we did. We just raised our vibration and did some inner work and have the intention to explore higher intelligence and wisdom, realizing that we're not the only frigging people in the universe, right? There's other planets out there, all those stars. That remembrance of Palladian lifetimes, the remembrance of travel on ships, the remembrance of galactic wars showing up in a lot of light workers' dreams right now to purge out the fear, the pain, the sadness, the grief of these wars. And right now we're anchored, we're come back on in physicality to anchor the light. It's an inside job, this mission. We couldn't do it any other way. We had to come and embody the light and raise the vibration together all around this planet. And when we did that, we could then start to raise the frequency of all the people around us in our communities, being multidimensional, walking down the street, not hiding away on a land with all the awake people. We have to be surrounding ourselves in the matrix, in the 3D, being multidimensional and anchoring these frequencies so other people can feel this galactic information. You don't need to actually do anything. Just by anchoring this knowledge, this wisdom, this light frequency in your field will just have a ripple effect on all the other souls at the supermarket, you know, at the kids' school. For a moment there, I couldn't go into the school to pick up the kids. My frequencies were wobbling, and now I'm integrated, I'm strong, and I'm smiling at everyone. Everyone's feeling that energy. It's activating people. That's what we're here to do, to be multidimensional. And then when we're ready as a collective, disclosure will happen. Real and right and beautiful connection to the Palladians in physical form. Right now, we're consciously remote viewing our light bodies, our souls to a physical ship to connect to them, to raise our vibration, to learn this wisdom. But in the future years, we will be having disclosure. They will be coming and we will be bridging that gap.
Yeah, so there needs to be, like, around the planet, more people who want to connect and want to, that saying, who want to believe. Like, we walked around those temples together and there were hieroglyphs of the Pleiades, the seven sisters, remember the star clusters? And then there were the hieroglyphs and the people were blue.
Blue and green. And yeah, like the green ones are like hybrids. The blue ones are celestials or gods, right? It's like crazy. It's like all written there, even like the hieroglyphs of us, literally a star and a gate. Like it's showing you this is a stargate. There's no confusion. The literal translation.
Yeah. A lot of people today who go, oh, that all sounds like a whole lot of bull. Well, what about that then 4,000 years ago? What about in Ethiopia that people talk about the Syrian beings coming to visit them? And they describe the Syrian star system, and forgive my detail on this, but with the naked eye, you can only see, let's say, 9 of the stars. There's a number. But with a telescope, you can see 2 extra. Well, in these Ethiopian texts, they talk about 11 stars of the Syrian star system. Well, how the heck did they know there was 11 back 5 or 10,000 years ago? There were no telescopes. How did they know there were 11? They're saying they know there was 11 because the Syrian beings came down and taught them wisdom and showed them how to channel water and to use agriculture and how to mix different types of grasses together to get the corn and da, da, like help them. And it's written up in their scripts and people go, oh, it's just a story.
But yeah, everyone just thinks big imagination. No, I mean, like they even knew the rotation of the stars, how they move. I think it's the Dogon tribe in Africa. They have this like device that literally has like the depiction of the way that all the stars rotate in the Sirius A and B system.
What I love is most of these civilizations all the way back talk about visitors from the stars who come flying in. And what do? Help, guide, instruct. If there were hieroglyphs of people running, it would have been written, right? It's not that. Right,
they're not shooting laser beams into like castles and stuff, right? Like going on fire or whatnot.
Yeah, the fire would be.
And the other bit that I find fascinating is these beings came and they visited and they helped these civilizations, and then there were all those hieroglyphs in all of those temples of the blue lotus and the pipe, and people wanting to get back to the stars. And how do they connect back?
DMT.
Yeah, right. And it hasn't every single like civilization from Alaska to the jungles of Borneo to over in Africa, they've all worked out some way to get drunk, to get high, to get their mind into an altered state, not because they're depressed, not because they got mortgage payments or a pain in the neck at home. They just don't want to roll back into the hut with the goats and go to sleep. They're not running away from their life. They're doing it for the wonder and the connection and the unity with all that is. So we've just been programmed to not explore any of that aspect because fear, control, manipulation. They really just want us to give up our free will, which it seems on the planet a lot at the moment. It seems to be the agenda. Even people are becoming more aware. Like you talk about all this information on mainstream media now about unidentified objects. And still very much people are, well, what are you going to do? It's like they can't be bothered. They're worrying about the project at work. They've got car payments. They've got the house. What are they going to do with that? They got life.
Yeah, I think that they've suffered a lot of trauma over the last like 3 years. Like, I don't know if you guys noticed, but the things that were coming out in the news was just like hitting people over the head with so many things, so much stimulation that you can't keep track of all of it. Like the CIA came out with this document about the human mind and how you're basically creating a torsion field and astral travel and all this kind of stuff. It's literally written in a 19-page like paper. This came out in 2020 in the middle of COVID and like all these other things. So many like things that these truths are being revealed to us. So I think that it's really hard for people who are not looking to expand. They want to just stay in this 3D or stay in that low scarcity frequency. It's hard for them to kind of awaken. But the people that are looking to expand themselves, they're seeing all of it. And it's kind of like a beautiful time where the more darkness there is, the more light that's being raised and the more that's becoming more like aware to the world in terms of truth, in terms of moving towards more consciousness.
I really think that was all playing out just to confuse people. Because when you're sitting in a state of confusion, you're a low vibration. So when you're sitting in knowing, it's a connected knowingness, right? So confusion is just like another tactic. It's trickster energy.
Yeah,
so
and you're able to be controlled at that time as well.
That's correct. Yeah. But I feel like right now on the planet, we're all moving into a time of integration, integrating what just happened. We've got time to just rest and to be back in somewhat of normal life and rhythm for most people in the matrix. They're back into work, but they're also reflecting. A lot of people are going, hang on, what just happened there? And they've got that time to integrate. So their soul is elevating. I don't think a lot of people are still asleep before COVID. I feel like they have activated some parts of their soul and their mental construct is moving into a higher vibration because we are all doing the inner work. We're rising that tide. The planet is shifting as well. The solar system is being activated by the sun, these solar flares. So people's hearts are getting cracked open on a really minute level. The ones that are asleep in their sleepy slumber, they're getting activated by natural remedies. The sun is pulsing into their field to activate them and to remind them that they are a spark of the divine. They can have love and ease and flow in their life and happiness. It's not all 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, 2 days off, work 5 days. that separation, I feel like we're shifting out of that slightly as a collective.
Yeah, I think that people, it's getting cracked open a little bit and a little light is pouring into people. Even at my wellness center, we do a lot of breath work and different events and sound baths, and people come in that 9-to-5 mentality, but yet they seek something different. And when they're coming and they're having these amazing breakthroughs, crying and going into past lives and going into childhood traumas and things like that, they're able to have like feeling back. Whereas when you're in a corporate environment living in right next to Manhattan, it's very high paced. There's not a lot of compassion or heart in a lot of corporations. And for them to be able to have just a little glimmer of that feeling back, then they're like, oh, wow, this is possible. So then they start seeking more and more and more. And I think that's how, just by holding space, by being the embodiment of love and being there for people, we can kind of open up those possibilities. I think that's really what it comes down to. Now, is there any kind of tipping point where humanity needs to get to in order for, say, the floodgates of light to come down for us to ascend out of 3D, 4D into 5D?
Yeah, we feel like 8% of the planet should be awake and aware to be able to transition into that highest state as the planet and as a collective. So not to be disheartened, we're not that far there yet, but it's going to happen rapidly. The energy is speeding up on the planet. Our vibration is moving a lot faster now. So what could have taken 10 years like a decade ago could only take maybe 3 or 4 years now, right? Because the frequency sped up. So yeah, we feel like we're probably only at 1% of those awakened souls, which doesn't feel very empowering, but we are moving fast and a lot of people are waking up. And like we said before, they're cracking open slowly and slightly. The mass awakenings haven't actually happened yet. We're the way showers. A lot of us that were on the Egypt trip even are the way showers. We're still rejuvenating our own soul at this time. And our work really hasn't began yet. Like we're all going to have to lead the others behind us. Those mass awakenings are yet to come and they will awaken. The planet is going to awaken. We're just the way showers for now. And the light workers, we feel like everyone's awake, but no one really is awake. Like you go to the shops, a lot of people are asleep still. There's some people that you catch their eye and you smile and you're like, hey, you kind of know, hey, I think you're awake, you know? And that's beautiful, but they're few and far between. So in this next part of the awakening, the great awakening is going to happen. It's about to move. And that beautiful sun is helping us with the planet. She's strong. She's not weak. She's moving into a higher state. Pachamama wants for us to enjoy her planet, to enjoy the gift of life, being human, moving through the forest, swimming in her seas, enjoying divine experiment, to really live and breathe Earth. The blue pearl, they call it from the galactic. They call it the blue pearl because it looks like this beautiful blue pearl floating in space. So we're here to make the shift, but then move into this beautiful awakening of love and unity and togetherness and really embody the divine.
So beautiful. As you say that, the sun is shining. It's literally shining right on my face. I don't know if you can see it. So actually, I'm very lucky. I get two like sunrise and sunset because we have glass buildings right across the street from us. So I get a reflection of the sun. So this is the reflection of the sun coming on me. Normally the sun rises in the east, but I'm still looking east, but it's still coming back to me.
So good. Let there be light.
Absolutely. So is this shift, this major awakening, is it going to happen in our lives in your view?
I feel like yes. I feel like all of us, I don't know if you feel this, I feel like we've come back for just, I think we've got front row seats to the greatest show in this universe, to be honest with you. And the way we're all so young and this has all shifted already, we've still got many years to see this unravel. And it's happening. Like, look at the world right now. We're shifting. We're really magnifying what war is, what separation is. We're seeing behind that illusion. There's no more false allowed on the planet anymore, only truth. So once we see that consciousness, it gets dissolved and neutralized quite quickly. So then we get to move up into higher states and the energy's speeding up. Like I said before, it's really, we're on a trajectory now.
Yeah, so true. And it's the same thing with ourselves. Like we talked about earlier, every insecurity, everything that you need to move through is going to be magnified until you understand it. Same thing happening in our world where all the bad things are happening, war and horrible economy and politics and corruption and all these kind of things, they're being amplified for us to just basically what you're talking about earlier is just like laugh at it and be like, oh, that's exactly what I don't want, but I'm going to embrace its existence because it is the polarity. Everything has to exist in this creational soup, right? And then we can start understanding, okay, I can't judge anything on the outside. It's all inwards. Where is this lying within me? How can I heal that part of me? And then, yeah, the more of us we start opening that possibility up, healing ourselves, then we're going to heal the planet. Because you can't just start doing things with the planet without understanding what it is we have to go through first individually.
Yeah, definitely. And that dark night of the soul, I think we've experienced that through the medicine, the beautiful medicine, the spirit mother, ayahuasca. I feel like the planet is going through its dark night of the soul at this point in time as well. And there's growth out of that. When we die, we are reborn. And that's the cycle that we all need to be used to, because that's the growth. That's the consciousness elevating and raising. And it's a beautiful way home. Going home to be reborn again is a beautiful like journey. It's not Absolutely. To be scared of.
Pete, what do you think?
Yeah, I certainly feel that exactly the things you both said. I agree with that. I feel like it's certainly an exciting time here on the planet. And I feel like everyone needs to remember timelines aren't set. We decide time in every now moment through the power of our choice. I've got a brother who says, that's not going to happen in my universe. He goes, you stay in your universe, I'll be in mine. And we laugh about it, but it's actually, you hear these terms, you're the creator of your own universe. All of us are the creator of how all this is going to play out. And the more awareness, the more work that we do, the higher we go up on that scale of consciousness. One thing we didn't make clear earlier is that the higher on the scale of consciousness you are, the more you counterbalance thousands of people who are down in lack or survival or poverty mentality in their calibration. Like that, such is the strength of the light. You always hear that one small light in a dark room has so much power. It's like those small lights, look at us, we're all around the world, but we're out actually really having an effect on rising that tide on the consciousness. That then affects the calibration of the earth, affects the timelines. In each billionth of a second, we are moving into, it's like creating a new reality for ourselves. So when someone says, should I build a bunker? Do I need a go bag in case this happens or that happens? What should I be doing moving my money around? It's like, if you move into trusting your intuition on what you should do and feeling into, and if you get a strong feeling one way or the other, trust it. But if you run around going, oh my goodness, have I got enough water? Should I do this? Should I do that? Catch what state you're in. If you go into fear and survival and lack when it hasn't even happened yet, it might become a self-fulfilling prophecy. So for us, we need to be very aware of our conversations that we have and the message that we put forward to say nothing is set in stone. And what Roxy and I get a lot when we connect into the ship is we can do this the easy way or we can do it the hard way. And a lot of us would certainly prefer to do this the easy way without some sort of cataclysmic shift, some sort of major financial collapse, some sort of very destructive war-based events. We can still shift into the new earth and enjoy the golden age without that needing to be the catalyst. If it needs to be, then so be it. But I think everyone realized too, we could certainly influence that through our vibration.
Wow, I feel so positive about the future talking to you guys. And I've felt this for a couple of weeks now after the Egypt trip. I just like, yeah, we're here for it. And we got a smile on our face, regardless of what happens. But this is what we came here for. And just to kind of like follow up on that, like, why do you think you guys came here to planet Earth? And what experience did you want to have?
I think all of the above. I think we had the awakening at a perfect time. Pete and I had lived our life. We'd gone on trips together. We're in the 3D, not knowing anything. And then all of a sudden we had this awakening and we saw behind the veil and learned everything about this planet and the mission and why we're even here. So I think for me, having that complete experience from start to finish, right, through the lowest pain in the 3D matrix of suffering and pain growing up in the household that I did, to overcoming that and healing that and seeing the light and seeing the infinite creator, moving closer to source, having the awakening and experiencing connection to galactic. I think for me, having that massive spectrum of experience was probably why I came in here. So it was just fun and fireworks the whole entire way. And it's like so fun and exciting now that I know that and I can see it. I can see that gift in the divine in my journey. That's what I just absolutely adore that. So I think that's mine.
I remember recently really tuning in and like feeling into how am I going in my life? What a life. I've got 5 kids. I've sort of done all sorts of different jobs and had all sorts of different experiences. And I was like feeling into, you know, wow, I'm learning so many things and integrating these experiences. And I was in a really deep state. I remember asking, I think I went into an ayahuasca journey and I tuned into how well am I going and like getting it. I sort of asked for an update, so to speak.
Have an updated report, please.
Yeah, kind of a report on how I'm going. And I was like shocked that the energy was going, you're doing all right, but you could do so much more. And I was like shocked, like a little bit. I really think I'm a really nice guy, you know? And I like think that I'm generous with energy. And so when you ask that question, it's a really good question. What did you come in here for? I think what I came in here for is to actually remember how powerful I am, because I think how powerful we all are, of course, but how for me, it's my journey. So I'll just talk about from my perspective, how powerful I am, because I think the biggest hindrance to me being more of all that I could be is me, my stories, my judgments on myself, my internal dialogue, my false beliefs, my relationship with myself and how I think I portray myself to the world and what I hang on as being important as getting back from the world in terms of validation is all a hindrance to me understanding who I really am and what I really am. So it's an ongoing process as I learn to juggle this, because I feel like I've got more to do. I've got to be more loving, more kind, less judgmental, more open, yes, to myself, but to others as well. And like, Anand, you know me, you've been around me. And like, I feel like I'm doing a good job, but I've got way more to give. I love that saying, once the mind's been stretched by a big idea, it never goes back to its original size. And after that experience, I came away thinking, I just need to be way more loving. Like I'm not even nearly there. And it was quite humbling for me when you think you got it together and then you realize, you just caught yourself. You don't actually know anything really. You're doing great, but you're not really there. And it's like, yeah, I need to just admit that. I'm still learning to now like explore myself and my own journey and to try and be the best me I can. And some days, you know what? I get sick of it all and on, and I just want to put on some music and drink a beer and just be human for a while. I don't sit around pondering this all the time. Like sometimes I'm like, over this spiritual shit for a minute. Just like be human for a sec and be normal, like, and not get too caught up in it all. And I kind of laugh that I can even say that, because that's the truth. And it's lovely to be able to like give yourself a break for a sec and not place pressure on yourself that you've got to be anything more than just whatever you feel like being at that time, right? Like sometimes you can have guilt or expectations that you're not feeling connected enough, or you're not this or that or the other. And like there's all this expectation that we have, even when we're on the right track, if you get my point.
No, 100%. I feel the same way. It's like, yeah, this is why I love doing this podcast, because it's all about interviewing people that are looking to live a limitless life on whatever field of passion that they choose, right? So we have this infinite potential So are we ever going to be able to reach it? Is it possible in this lifetime? Probably not, right? So it's a choose your own adventure, and we can choose to play as big as we want, as small as we want. We could take a break at any point. But I think the real lesson for me is like understanding that don't be so hard on yourself, because when you're taking a break, you're thinking about, oh, I should be more productive. And when I'm being productive is like, oh my goodness, I'm doing so much of this. Why don't I take a break? So it's just being comfortable with where you are at every given moment and just, yeah, finding joy in that presence. And once we could live in the eternal present moment, that term that Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about, that's like that quantum field where everything is available to you. And I just, the more I go through this life and learn the lessons, it's, yeah, just finding joy, because that's the simplest part of this journey, but yet also the most complex in order to get to that place is not having those expectations all the time of becoming a better version of yourself. Because yeah, you can keep growing and growing and learning and doing all the self-development. And then you realize at one point, oh, wow, it's actually pretty simple, where you can just chill out and just be nice and kind to yourself and be love, right? And you could just forget everything else, but just be love. And then once you get to that place, it's a place of nothingness. And then you're like, okay, now let's go create again. So it's just like flowing in and out of that, those, I guess, potentials.
Totally. Love it.
Yeah, you guys are incredible. And I really want to just express my gratitude for you guys coming on. I know you're super busy and you just filmed a new show, and we'll go into that once it launches. I'll have you back on. But I know a lot of our guests and the people that are listening to this are going to want to learn more about you and work with you. Can you tell us a little bit about the work that you do and how you help individuals?
Yeah, so we're connecting to a Galactic Federation ship that's off planet, one of, everyone can access it. But we tune in and take their light body, their soul up to the plasma ship, to use plasma technology, medbed technology. And this is a fifth dimensional ship that's physical with over 200 beings aboard. The size of the ship is massive. It's like a football field. We're accessing only really one level at this point in time. So we train people, we take people up there to learn this information. And our business is awakening.education for anyone that wants to feel called to learn more about the galactic consciousness that we're tapping into. We're connecting in generally with the Palladians and the Octarians. We do also have higher vibrational beings coming into session as well, which is super exciting. But the intention is for galactic connection, to bridge the gap between planet Earth and the galactic. And that is one of the intentions of the Galactic Federation at this time. And alongside of that is to elevate the consciousness of the souls on the planet, to help them raise their vibration. And like we've just spoken about, heal. We have to do the inner work to be able to tap into that intelligence and that wisdom in these higher frequencies.
Hey Tribe, are you looking for the ultimate mind, body, and spirit experience? This episode of the Limitless One podcast is brought to you by Om Life Wellness Modern Recovery Spa. Om Life is the most unique wellness experience on the East Coast and is located in downtown Jersey City, New Jersey. We specialize in athletic recovery, pain management, and stress relief. Through our unique suite of holistic services like zero gravity flotation therapy, infrared saunas, whole body cryotherapy, CBD oil massages, fascial stretch therapy, and hypnotherapy, we are on a mission to inspire and transform the health of our community and planet. Visit us at www.om.life, that's om.life, to learn more, and follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Om Life Wellness. See you there soon, guys.
It's amazing. We learned about the balancing of the energies on the trip and about how this is the age of the divine feminine starting to move back into harmony with the divine masculine. And I've noticed in the last like 6 months in sessions that a lot more of the Andromedan beings are coming through, and they really embody the divine feminine energy and showing people a lot of patterns, blocks to do with how that divine feminine energy's played out in their life. I know personally for myself, it came through in the many different issues I'd had with females, even to the point, and on the left side of my body, the feminine side, is the side where I've had all the breaks, the broken foot, the broken toe, the broken arm, the squashed finger, all the fillings in my teeth are all down the left side of my body, feminine side, which is the side where I've got various issues and et cetera. It's like we talk about there's a pattern to everything. Like we kind of laugh now, Roxy and I. It's like everything's a pattern. And we, as our awareness goes up, we see more and more around us in everything. And we talk about all of this, like we're Pete and Roxy on YouTube, and we put out a lot of our information for free. Like most of what we do is for free, and it's on YouTube, and people can jump on there and go through everything from like our very first videos on our ayahuasca experience, you know, to see what we were like back 3 years ago to now, and how along the way we guided people through like navigating a relationship. Like it's amazing to be in a relationship with someone, and when they're upset, when they run into the room and slam the door and you go in, because as a male, you want to fix it. Is everything all right? And she can say, I just need to be alone. I'm working through some stuff. And you don't go, oh, no, it's me. Oh, my God, is she going to leave me? Oh, no, maybe if I didn't wash up the dishes the other night, maybe it was that, or it's, oh, yeah, like whatever. It's like when you, like, I am completely comfortable with that now, but not in the beginning, Anand. So when people have got kids or a relationship or a partner who's completely asleep and they're wanting to learn and awake and their partner's completely like uninterested, for us to be able to like guide and help a person navigate that, this is kind of where we kind of can assist and to help people. When a person has to go to Christmas, and they know they're going to walk into a room of asleep people.
That's a huge market right there.
Yeah.
Judge them. That's the sort of stuff we talk about. And we laugh about it together. We get you to bubble up beforehand so all that negative shit doesn't get on you. You bubble up and go in there, but still be who you are. You can shine your light. You don't have to start sitting there and talking about chakras and energy fields with them, but you can sit in there and be centered and in your power and own what you have. And people can do that when they've cleared their blocked throat chakra from when they were seven and they got told to shut up and stop playing with fairies and their imagination got squashed and you should get in there and do your homework, and the child wants to play out in the garden because they had that natural connection with the elementals, right? All this stuff's buried in people. They're shut down here, or they got a wall around their heart, or they're sacral, they can't feel love and express their feelings properly. All these different issues are locked in people, and we help them to highlight what they are for the individual and to like clear that out in a real world sense. Like we don't live in the back of all of that. It's like not in the festivals and all of that. Oh, I'd probably like to go. I think it'd be great. But we're applying this to normal everyday life as much as we can.
It's amazing. Yeah, your approach to it all and your heart space is just so admirable and so needed in this time. And I'm so glad you guys awakened to who you are to be able to serve others. It's amazing to see that people on the other side of the world, Australia, everyone that I meet from other countries, there's so many people like you that are really serving humanity in so many ways. So our soul tribe is all finding each other. Again, this is what this life is all about, is finding our soul brothers, soul sisters. So yeah, if anybody is listening to this and really feels a connection, which I'm sure everyone is going to, please start looking into what their work is. The YouTube videos are incredible. Awakening Education. You have Instagram, Awakening Education as well, correct? And then what is the website?
www.awakening.education, and the YouTube is Pete and Roxy.
Pete and Roxy, that's right. Okay, yeah. Awesome. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it, and I love you guys.
Thank you, Anand. Thank you, brother.